infórmate. Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Esta es La Hora Extra, con Richard Vaughan.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to a new edition of The Extra Hour, Monday's edition. We have successfully navigated Monday. It's 10 o'clock at night, I imagine. If you're listening to me in real time, if you're listening to me live right now, that means you have successfully navigated Monday. Monday the 20th of September. Today is the last day of summer. Or maybe tomorrow. I don't know if the 21st is the last day of summer or the first day of autumn, the first day of fall. I think the 21st is the first day of fall. So let's celebrate the last 2 hours of summertime. It's summertime, summertime, some, summertime, 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 some, summertime, summertime. Yes. And it won't be summer until 9 months from now. No. Yes, 9 months from now. We have to wait until the new year, 2022. Yeah. Until June 21st, to say it's summer finally. Yes, sir. So let's say goodbye. Goodbye. So long. It's been fun, the summer. Yes. See you next summer. See you when the spring is through. Yes. See you. That comes from a song called See You in September. See you in September. See you when the summer's through. All right, but in any case, let's get going. What shall we do today? Any ideas? I need some ideas. Yeah. I need some ideas. Come on, give me an idea. What can we do? I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss of what to do. Well, sing the song See You in September. No. We'll change the lyrics, change the words to see you next summer or something. Let's see you in September. All right, let's see. I'll be alone each and every night. While you're away, don't forget to write. Bye-bye, so long, farewell. Bye-bye, so long. I will see you in September. See you when the summer's through. Here we are, bye, baby, goodbye. Saying goodbye at the station. Summer vacation is taking you away. Have a good time, but remember, there is danger in the summer moon above. Will I see you in September, or lose you to a summer love? Counting the days I will be with you, counting the hours and the minutes too. Okay, well, that's a kind of a sickly sweet love song. But we could change it. See you next June. See you when the springtime's through. Nah, it doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. So forget it. Let's get to work. Let's not dilly-dally and do silly things. What do you say? Let's get going. All right, paragraph number 18 from 198 paragraphs. The play was a resounding success. Tom Keller wrote shall we start again? The play was a resounding success. Tom Keller wrote a two-column review in the Chicago Tribune the following day, praising the cast and direction. I wasn't there, but I'm planning to go this evening if I can get a ticket. I'm really glad Jennifer's finally gotten the recognition she deserves. I personally think she's the best female director in this country. Stage director. My God. My diction has abandoned me. I have to be able to say this sentence better. I'm not achieving my objective. I'm not accomplishing my goal. And my objective, my goal, my mission in life is to teach English and to speak clearly with good diction, crisp reproduction, high resolution, fine definition in my voice. The play was a resounding success. Tom Keller wrote a 2-column review in the Chicago Tribune the following day, praising the cast and direction. I wasn't there, but I'm planning to go this evening if I can get a ticket. I'm really glad Jennifer's finally gotten the recognition she deserves. I personally think she's the best female stage director in the country. Okay, what do we have here? Well, we have a man talking about a play. A play that apparently takes place in Chicago, not in New York on Broadway, or not in London in the West End, but in Chicago, seen in Chicago. Why? Why do I think this conversation takes place in Chicago? Well, because the following morning in the Chicago Tribune, the local newspaper, the local daily, there was a review about the play. The journalist, the critic, we call it a critico de cine, in este caso critico del teatro, Tom Keller, like Helen Keller. You remember Helen Keller? Helen Keller was born, before the age of one, Helen Keller suffered an illness, and she lost her sight and she lost her hearing, so she was blind and deaf. She went on to get a PhD. Thanks to Anne Sullivan, a woman who spent many years with her, teaching her how to communicate with her fingers and hands by holding another person, communicating through touch. Not through sight or through hearing, but communicating through tact and touch. Anne Sullivan, the miracle worker. And Helen Keller became a respected person and got a doctorate from the university, blind and deaf. All right. But this is not Helen Keller. This is Tom Keller. And he's a critic. He's an entertainment critic. Now, that morning, the Chicago Tribune came out, and in the entertainment section of the newspaper, there was a review of the play. Apparently, the night before was the opening night, what you call el estreno. We say the opening night if it's a movie or a play. The opening night, the premiere, the opening night. And Tom Keller wrote a review. All right. But not just a short review. He wrote a 2-column review. A 2-column review, de dos columnas en el periódico, which means it's a pretty long review, in the Chicago Tribune. Did he criticize or praise the play? No, he praised the play. What did he praise specifically? Well, he praised the cast and direction. He praised, elogió el reparto, o sea, los actores, el elenco de actores, y la dirección artística y, supongo, de todos los aspectos. So he praised the cast and direction. The play was the play successful? Yes, it was. Was it a big success? Yes, it was. At least the opening night was a big success. It was a resounding success. Un éxito resonante. Yeah, we say resounding. La palabra sonido is sound, con ese suave. But when we say resounding, we pronounce it like a Z or a Z. Resounding. Here it says in Spanish, resounding is resonante, rotundo. Yes. Yes, rotundo. Un éxito rotundo. A Zaragoza, Zarzuela, yes. Zafra. Zafra es una ciudad en Extremadura. All right, resounding success. So the play on its opening night was a resounding success. Tom Keller wrote a 2-column review. It's a pretty thin review. The reviews. Vamos a ver las críticas de prensa al día siguiente. Let's see the reviews. This is the common, this was, now I don't know. Probably it's the same. On Broadway, of course, the competition on Broadway is intense. Stiff competition, intense competition, and only the best reach Broadway, and then only the best survive once they reach Broadway. So it's Darwinist to the maximum. Darwinist to the hilt. Darwinist to the max. Yes, and so the people who are involved in the world of theater are always worried. And the most important element is the reviews in the newspaper. Especially following the opening night. They open, and of course, several critics from the New York Post, the New York Times, maybe the Boston Globe or something, and they attend the opening night. And then they go home. And between maybe 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. or midnight, they write the review, their impression of the play. Then they take it or send it to the newspaper redacción. How do you say redacción de un periódico? I don't know. Redacción. Let's see, the editorial department, the editorial office of the newspaper, and then it goes in the following morning. So, and the newspapers hit the newsstands around 5:30 or 6 o'clock, around 6 o'clock in the morning. The newspapers hit the newsstands. And the people who are involved in the play, the actors, the director, the producers, the financiers, the people who finance it, I'm forgetting the names. Vestuario. The costume designer. The musician. If there's music, the composer. The scorer. And they all have a party. A nervous party, because they're starting around 11 o'clock. They have dinner near the theater, and then they go to an apartment nearby, to a flat in Manhattan, and have a long party waiting for the reviews, waiting for the newspaper. So they stay up until 6 o'clock in the morning. And somebody goes down to the nearest newsstand to wait for the newspapers to arrive. And they buy maybe 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10, I don't know. And they take them up to the flat and hand them out to the people, and the people read the... Now, if the review is scathing, well, scathing means mordaz, caustico, feroz, dañino. Yes, if the review is negative, it's pretty much a death sentence. It's pretty much, si dice mucho en inglés, pretty means bonito, hermoso, bueno, hermoso no, lindo, guapo. It also means más bien, o bastante, estoy bastante enfadado. Él está bastante enfadado, ojo. He's pretty angry, be careful. But the expression pretty much is used a lot. It pretty much means, pues, más que nada, bueno, seguro, seguro. Pretty much means seguro, seguro. Es una sentencia de muerte. Yeah. It's a death sentence, yes, Kader, for the play. If the reviews are negative, now if one review is negative and the other is very positive, well, okay. But if the reviews, all three or four of the reviews are negative, then the actors, director, producer, costume artist, etc., and lighting technician, they go home sad and blue, knowing that they are in a question of maybe 1 week, they're going to be unemployed. All right, they have to start working on a new play or find a new job. And if the reviews are rave reviews, we say that rave, rave, rave. It's interesting. Rave means despotricar. He's raving mad. Yes, raving mad. Ahora, to rave about means alabar con entusiasmo. Vamos. Rave reviews means todo elogios por los cielos. Yes, very, very good. Rave reviews. Deshacerse en elogios is to rave about. Se deshizo en elogios. He raved about. It's funny because raving mad means totalmente loco, raving mad. Yeah, he's raving mad. It could also mean loco, totalmente enfadado, raving mad. We use it quite a bit. But to rave about, now, rave reviews. We use that in our company. We want our teachers to get rave reviews. Wow, qué profe. The best teacher I've had in my life. And we receive reviews like that often. Eh? Rave reviews all the time. It's a good thing it doesn't go to our head. All right, rave reviews. Raving about. So, and what we have here is apparently the opening night, last night, of this play was a resounding success. Tom Keller wrote a two-column review in the Chicago Tribune the following day, praising the cast and direction. I wasn't there, but I'm planning to go this evening if I can get a ticket. I'm really glad Jennifer's finally gotten the recognition she deserves. I personally think she's the best female stage director in this country. All right, so the director of the play is a woman by the name of Jennifer. Yes. And the person who's talking, knows Jennifer personally. Well, I get the impression. Now, the person who's talking didn't go to the opening night play. He says, I wasn't there. No estuve. I wasn't there, but I'm planning to go this evening if I can get a ticket. I'm really glad. Me alegro muchísimo. Wow. Realmente alegrado, decimos en inglés. I'm really glad Jennifer has finally gotten, inglés americano, has finally received. I'm really glad Jennifer has finally gotten the recognition she deserves. Yes, I personally think she's the best female stage director in this country. Well, that's a pretty good opinion the man has. He thinks she's the best female stage director in the country. Fine. And he's really glad that she's finally gotten the recognition she deserves. So apparently the person who's talking believes that up to now, Jennifer hasn't gotten the recognition, reconocimiento. The recognition she has deserved. He thinks she has been underrated. To underrate, subvalorar. She's been underrated up to now. That's what he thinks. Whether he's right or wrong really doesn't matter. Let's see, to underrate, subvalorar, subestimar. To underrate. Underrate, doble R media. To underrate is subestimar, infravalorar. All right. So I get the impression. In Spanish, you'd say, me da la impresión de qué. In English, I get the impression that. O sea, consigo la impresión. Obtengo la impresión. Is what we say in English. I get the impression that up to now she's been directing quite a few plays successfully, and she's never gotten the recognition that some people believe she deserves, including the person who's talking. So, one more time, this paragraph. The play was a resounding success. Tom Keller wrote a two-column review in the Chicago Tribune the following day, praising the cast and direction. I wasn't there, but I'm planning to go this evening if I can get a ticket. I'm really glad Jennifer's finally gotten the recognition she deserves. I personally think she's the best female stage director in this country. I personally think. Yeah, it's funny, the word personally is redundant. I mean, you say, I think. Of course, it's a personal thought. But we say it. I personally think. Yo personalmente pienso. I personally think she's the best female stage director. Which means maybe there are some male directors who are better. It's funny how he says female stage director. All right. Does that put her in a second category? I don't know. Hopefully not. There are a lot of excellent female directors, but not that many. Because it's, I don't know. Well, there are more female directors. Jane Campion, The Piano, you remember? The movie The Piano that takes place in New Zealand about 20 years ago, that, no more. That movie came out probably 1994, The Piano. The Piano. 1993, I said 1994. Why do I remember so well? Because the score, the music, the soundtrack of The Piano by, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Michael Nyman, yes. Is very, very good. Oh, very good. Very, very good. It's very, very romantic. And also a little bit strange. When Michael Nyman was approached by the director, Jane Campion, to score this movie, you know, so to write the score, to write the soundtrack for the score, for the movie, he said yes, but he was at a loss because the movie takes place in New Zealand. And he was at a loss as to how to approach the music. So he didn't really know. So he got the book, The Piano. It's based on a book. And he saw it in the book that the main character, who's a mute woman, she's a woman who's mute. Mute means muda, that she couldn't speak. Was from originally from Scotland. And he said, oh, okay. So he knew that he could create some music with a Scottish flavor. And then he wrote the soundtrack. And one or two of the pieces in that soundtrack of the movie, The Piano, had a strong influence on me, in my own musical work. And so, I've never said this. This is the first time I realized this, but it did. I spent a lot of time listening to that. A lot. And some of the music is very strange. You won't like some of it. If you decide to listen to it. But it's piano. It's only piano. Well, there is orchestra behind it. On many of the pieces, there's orchestra behind it. But it's beautiful. Michael Nyman. Michael Nyman is an interesting composer. He's an interesting composer. And one of his pieces reached almost number one on the pop music charts. And it's one of my, well, I have a lot of favorite songs, but my God, this one I love listening to. It's a instrumental. No singing, nothing. And it's strange. It's strange. Ba-la, da-la-la. And maybe I'll play it someday. I'm not going to play it now because I don't have Nacho to help me. To help me put it on. But if I can remember, I'll put on Michael Nyman and his song that I just love. And it was in the mid-1990s, around 1995, 1996, it was on the Cuore dei Principales. It was one of the songs. It reached, yeah, Michael Nyman, top 40. I don't know if I can find that song. It has a strange name. Michael Nyman, top 40, top 40 song. Let's see if I can find it. The heart asks pleasure first. It could be that. But I can't remember. It says something about tending sheep. Michael Nyman. Something about sheep. It comes from a movie. Chasing sheep is best left to shepherds. I'm going to see if I can hear this thing. I'm going to try to find it. Yes. 1, 2, 3, start. Okay. Yes. All right. I recommend tending sheep is best left to shepherds. Tending sheep is best left to shepherds. I recommend you find that tune and listen to it. I'll be back.
Tengo 23 años y acabo de terminar la carrera de Administración y Dirección de Empresas. Decidí hacer este máster antes de acabar la carrera porque mi nivel de inglés era realmente bajo. Veía que tenía que buscar un trabajo y que necesitaba un buen nivel de inglés. Y creí que esta era la mejor forma y una alternativa a irte fuera. Así que decidí compaginar un poco los estudios con el inglés. Y ahora que he terminado, hace una semana que he terminado los estudios, si tengo que buscar trabajo, me siento un poco más preparada. Lo mejor es el equipo de profesores que tienen. Hacen las clases muy amenas y aprovechamos el tiempo al máximo.
No importa lo que hayas estudiado, no importa a qué te quieras dedicar. Hagas lo que hagas, vas a necesitar el inglés. Haz un máster que realmente merezca la pena. Haz el máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com. Máster en inglés profesional.
Además, ahora fíanciate hasta el 100% del coste y págalo cómodamente hasta en 24 meses. Puedes ver las condiciones de financiación en el apartado de máster en grupovaughan.com.
Alicante, Barcelona, Bilbao, Valladolid, Valencia, Vigo, Santander, Zaragoza y Madrid. Ven a vernos a cualquiera de nuestras academias de inglés Vaughan. Ven a vernos sin ningún compromiso. Queremos conocerte. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Hello there, this is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Vaughan. €99 for 1 year of classes. You can spread the €99 over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Vaughan.com.
Dispara tu carrera profesional con un máster Vaughan. Dominarás el inglés oral en situaciones cotidianas y profesionales. Aprenderás a escribir correctamente textos y cartas de negocios en perfecto inglés y transmitirás una imagen de profesionalidad. El máster incluye una o dos inmersiones lingüísticas en Vaughan Town, donde practicarás lo aprendido en el máster con angloparlantes nativos de todas partes del mundo. Puedes hacerlo a tiempo completo o a tiempo parcial. Tú eliges la que más te convenga. La versión completa se realiza por videoconferencia e incluye más de 900 horas de inglés y dos inmersiones en Vaughan Town. La versión parcial se realiza también por videoconferencia o, si lo prefieres, de manera presencial en nuestros centros de Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia y Zaragoza, e incluye más de 500 horas de inglés y una inmersión en Vaughan Town. Todo, por supuesto, en un entorno seguro, cumpliendo todas las medidas de higiene y distanciamiento social. Te estamos ofreciendo el mejor programa de inglés del mercado. Tú decides. Máster en inglés profesional. Para más información, grupovaughan.com.
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 911-335-831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Ven a vernos a nuestra tienda física en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75. Y si no te viene bien, ya sabes, baugantienda.com.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to our second half hour of the extra hour. Just to finish on my little reference to a song by Michael Nyman. I said the title name wrong. I said Tending Sheep is best left to shepherds. It's not. It's Chasing Sheep. El perseguir a ovejas es mejor dejar eso a los pastores. Chasing Sheep is best left to shepherds. Go into YouTube and listen to it. Listen to the original version recording. Don't listen to... Well, there is... You can see Michael Nyman at a piano and a little orchestra with him, and they do it. But I prefer the original recording. So I would say going to the recording. It lasts about 5 minutes. It's a long piece of music. Well, not long. It's a relative... It's not a typical 2-minute pop record. But this Chasing Sheep is best left to shepherds. The charts, I don't know what Chasing Sheep. Chasing Sheep is best left to shepherds. I don't know what, how high it got. The top charts. It was a film score for a film called, I think, The Draftsman's Daughter. Yes. Chasing Sheep is best left to shepherds is a piece of minimalist music from the soundtrack The Draftsman's Contract, written by Michael Nyman. In the 30 years since its release, it has been much quoted and sampled and performed by various ensembles. Conjuntos musicales, we say ensembles, but we Frenchify the pronunciation ensembles. It's based on the prelude to Act 3, Scene 2, of Henry Purcell's opera King Arthur. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. It's not totally original. It's based on Purcell, who's a Baroque, and an English Baroque composer. Yes. And it became very, very popular. And Chasing Sheep, it reached, I don't know what, it reached in the... on the top 40, Los 40 Principales, but it was there. And it's a strange song. It's something very different if you listen to it. Be patient. The middle part is the best. All right. And it was that music was used for a British TV commercial for Walker's Crisps featuring Victoria Beckham and Gary Lineker. All right. Okay, but let's get going, shall we? We still have about 20 minutes or 22 minutes. So it was paragraph number 19. It wasn't supposed to rain today. Now how am I going to get my car without getting soaked to the bone? What time's our next meeting? Hey, if we have time, I'd rather wait until the storm blows over before crossing the street to the parking lot. In fact, I'd rather arrive late for the meeting than walk in soaking wet. All right, poor guy has a dilemma here. The poor fellow. The poor guy has a dilemma. The poor guy's got a dilemma. What shall we do? He's standing at the exit of a building or something, and his car is parked maybe 100 meters away, or maybe farther, and he needs to cross the street to the parking lot. to get his car. And he doesn't have an umbrella, apparently. Why doesn't he have an umbrella? Because the forecast didn't call for rain. The forecast didn't call for. Fíjate cómo se dice call for aquí. The forecast calls for clear skies. The forecast called for clear skies. It didn't call for rain. So he went to a meeting or something, and he had to park across the street in the parking lot. He went into the meeting and then leave when the meeting was over. He has another meeting, but he doesn't know what time. He's with another person. There are two people standing at the exit of a building looking out, and it's raining cats and dogs. It's pouring down rain. Sheets of rain are coming down. The sky is falling. Yes, it's a torrential downpour. And he's looking out, and he knows he needs to get his car because they have a meeting later. And he talks to the other person. What time is our next meeting? But he said, the first thing he says, it wasn't supposed to rain today. Se supone que no iba a llover hoy. It wasn't supposed to rain. It wasn't supposed to rain. Pronunciación? It wasn't supposed to. Supposed to. Supposed to. Es como used to. It wasn't supposed to rain today. Now how am I going to get my car without getting soaked to the bone? How am I going? ¿Cómo voy a conseguir mi coche o ir a por mi coche? How am I going to get? To get es ir a por. ¿Cómo voy a ir a por mi coche? Sin mojarme hasta el hueso, hasta los huesos. We say to the bone, como si tuvieras un solo hueso. To the bone. How am I going? How am I? 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 Fíjate cómo cierra la boca con M. How am I? Am I? Mi amiga Amaya. Amaya. Carmen Amaya. Carmen Amaya going to get my car. How am I? How am I going to get my car without getting soaked to the bone? Soak. To soak. Escrito soak. Significa dejar en remojo. To soak. But to soak also means, yes, dejar en agua. To soak. Now, to get soaked, to be soaked is estar empapado. To get soaked, soaked, to get soaked is empaparse. Now, ¿cómo voy a ir a por mi coche sin empaparme hasta el hueso, hasta los huesos? To the bone. How am I? It wasn't supposed to rain today. Now, how am I going to get my car without getting soaked to the bone? What time is our next meeting? So he's talking to another person, and they are together. All right. And they need to go together to the next meeting. What time is our next meeting? If we have time, I'd rather wait until the storm blows over before crossing the street to the parking lot. In fact, I'd rather arrive late for the meeting than walk in soaking wet. Empapado, soaking wet. I'm soaked. Means to empapado. I'm soaking wet. Se dice incluso más. Estoy empapante, soaking wet. Empapantemente mojado. Por crear algo. Soaking wet. If we have time, he says, what time is our next meeting? Now, then, if the next meeting is in 20 minutes, they don't have time. Because he said, if we have time, I'd rather wait until the storm blows over before crossing the street to the parking lot. Okay. ¿Qué pasa? When a storm blows over means el viento ya lleva la tormenta hasta la comarca siguiente. Y se despeja el cielo. Yes. Amaina. Amainar. Hay otra palabra. Escampar, ¿no? Escampe. I think you say, you wait until the storm blows over and the sky clears up a little bit. I think you say escampar, right? Yes, to clear up, to stop raining. But you have some amainar, which also is to die down, to subside. Yes, to ease off. Yes. But I'm not sure if... El huracán amainó esta mañana. Ah, the hurricane subsided this morning. All right. Yes. But I think you say escampa, escampar more than amainar. You can tell me, which do you use when the storm clears up or the storm dies down, when the storm subsides, you know, when the storm stops, when it stops raining, do you say escampa or amaina? I think you say escampa. I think you say it more. In fact, some people don't even know amainar. Es lo que es, amainar. All right. But in any case, in our little story, we're not speaking Spanish. We're not worried about amainar or escampar. We're worried about the blow over. To blow over means el viento empuja en una dirección en la tormenta o las, the storm clouds. And so the rain subsides. That means it gets weaker but stronger 10 blocks further away. So I'd rather wait until the storm blows over before crossing the street to the parking lot. In fact, I'd rather arrive late for the meeting than walk in soaking wet. So when we look at this final sentence, the impression I get is that this man is not about to cross the street as long as it's raining so hard. So he said, I'd rather arrive late than walk in soaking wet. So he's decided, you know, he says, what time's our next meeting? He said, I'd rather wait. And, but, you know, if the other person says, our meeting's in 15 minutes, boss, we need to hurry. Said, well, we'll just arrive late. We'll wait out the storm. Curioso forma de hablar en inglés. We'll wait out the storm. Yeah, esperaremos la tormenta. Literalmente, esperaremos fuera. O sea, esperaremos que la tormenta pase. We'll wait out. Wait it out. To wait out. I've never taught that phrasal verb. I didn't even remember it, but we say it that way. To wait out. Yes. Wait. To wait for, to wait on, but to wait out, I've never taught it. Let's see. Let's look at some of these things. To wait around, to wait about, to wait on, to wait out. Esperar a qué? A guardar. Ah. A guardar a qué? Yes. Esperaremos a que la tormenta amaine o escampe. We'll wait out the storm. Yes, we'll wait until the storm blows over. Even if it means getting to the meeting late. Even if it means arriving late. Yes. In fact, I'd rather. He said, this man says, I'd rather twice. If we have time, I'd rather wait until the storm blows over before crossing the street to the parking lot. In fact, I'd rather arrive late for the meeting than walk in soaking wet. To walk in is entrar. Pero claro, entrar a pie. Curioso, como siempre, casi siempre, vamos al verbo de locomoción para entrada y salida. To walk in, to walk out, to run in, to run out, to swim. Always. He doesn't want to walk into the meeting wet. Soaking wet, because apparently it's raining so hard that if he makes a run for it, shooting across the street, by the time he reaches his car, he'll be soaking wet. That's how strong the rain shower is. The shower, el chubasco, or el aguacero. Yes, it's coming down in sheets. Está bajando, viniendo abajo, decimos, en sábanas. O sea, sábanas de lluvia, decimos a veces. Sheets of rain. The rain is really coming down. It's pouring down rain. It's raining cats and dogs. It's raining, you say, chuzos de punta. It's coming down. So, one more time. It wasn't supposed to rain today. Now, how am I going to get my car without getting soaked to the bone? What time is our next meeting? If we have time, I'd rather wait until the storm blows over before crossing the street to the parking lot. In fact, I'd rather arrive late for the meeting than walk in soaking wet. Soaking wet. All right, paragraph number 20. All right. Don't expect Maria to follow your advice. I've known her for ages, and she's never once followed any advice of mine. She's pathologically independent and likes to assert this fact. When she needs to make an important decision, she often consults a lot of people, but she usually ends up designing her own solution. Okay, Maria. Well, okay, Maria. If that's what you... if you insist. I mean, if you're pathologically independent. So, one man is speaking to another, or one man is... so, one person is speaking to another person. Okay. Maybe they're two females, maybe they're two males, maybe it's male to female, maybe it's female to male. I really don't know. But the person says, don't expect Maria to follow your advice. I've known her for ages, and she's never once followed any advice of mine. She's pathologically independent and likes to assert this fact. When she needs to make an important decision, she often consults a lot of people, but she usually ends up designing her own solution. I like Maria. At least, well, at least she seeks advice. Well, she doesn't seek advice. She consults a lot of people. Judith, she consults with a lot of people. Consult or consult? Consult or consult with? You know? Consult with. Yes. You can use consult with when consult means discuss something in order to make a decision. Yes. How to use the word consult. All right. You can only use consult with when consult means discuss something in order to make a decision. In this case, it's an intransitive verb. It has no object, so you cannot write anything between the words consult with. I don't agree with that. It's not an intransitive verb, consult with, but you put the direct object after with, to consult with him. We don't say consult him with. Yes. He consulted with his lawyer for 15 minutes before returning to the meeting. So it's consult with. You know, when I wrote this paragraph, I didn't put with. And I wonder why. I think I'm contaminated. My English is a little bit contaminated by hearing Spanish. Because in Spanish you don't say consultar. Voy consultar con mi gente. Voy consultar a mi gente. Consultar. I don't know what you say in Spanish. But I'm going to add with here. She often consults with a lot. I don't know. What do you think? If I have any native people, native speakers listening to me right now, ella menudo consulta con... bueno, she, in Spanish, for, in English, she often consults a lot of people. Or, she often consults with a lot of people. I don't know which one is... I think consult with is the correct way. In my own language, I'm questioning myself. Consults with... a lot of people. One way to do it is to put it in quotes, inverted commas, as you say in English, and to see if it shows up in Google. To consult with. Yes. To consult with. But I can't find anything here. If I looked long enough, I would. All right. To consult with. You put it in parentheses. Excuse me, in quotes, quotation marks, and then you can see it. To consult with. To consult with. To consult with. In word reference, can we find it? Word reference. Maybe we can find it in word reference. Hacer una consulta. You consult with. Yeah. I'm consulting with the technician about the issue. Yes. I'm consulting with the technician. Yes. Estoy consultando con el técnico acerca del problema. Estoy consultando al técnico. Which do you say in Spanish? Voy a consultarle al técnico, voy a consultar con el técnico. So, Yes. I'm at a loss. I've been teaching English for too long. I can't see the forest for the trees, right? I can't see the forest for the trees. But in any case, don't expect Maria to follow your advice. Advice sempre singular. Advice, 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 advice. Con C-E al final. Como sustantivo, como verbo con S-E. Advise. And the pronunciation changes. Don't expect. No esperes que Maria siga tu consejo, eh? Don't expect Maria to follow your advice. I've known her for ages. Se la conozco desde el año de la polka, desde el siglo XIII. I've known her for... La conozco desde hace edades. La edad de la piedra, la edad del bronce. I've known her for ages. Se dice mucho for ages. Lo importante aquí es I've known, present perfect. I've known her. Me como la H de her. I've known her. Known her. I've known her for ages. And she's never once followed any advice of mine. Ni una sola vez un consejo mío. Algún consejo mío. She's never once, ni una sola vez, she's never once followed any of my advice or any advice of mine. She's pathologically independent. And she likes to assert this fact. Que conste. That's to assert this fact. Es asertiva. She's assertive. Hey, I'm independent. I make my own decisions. Okay. And she likes to assert this fact. By the way, Frank, you know I'm independent in making my decisions. Okay, Maria. I understand that. She's pathologically independent and likes to assert this fact. When she needs to make an important decision, she often consults with a lot of people. But she usually ends up designing her own solution. She usually ends up designing. Eso de diseñar una solución. Maria must work in a type of company in which decision making requires designing. That's interesting. Maybe it's maybe it's an engineering firm, you know, designing a solution. Maybe it's a manufacturer. It's probably in manufacturing or something. Because when you have a problem in manufacturing, sometimes it requires design. It's a design question. But you need to design a solution. Not necessarily designing or redesigning a part or redesigning a product. But sometimes the solution requires several steps, in which case you need to design the solution or design the steps to take to solve the question, to solve the problem. Don't expect Maria to follow your advice. Don't expect Maria to follow your advice. I've known her. I've known her for ages. I've known her for ages. La conozco desde hace tiempo. Mucho, mucho tiempo. I've known her for ages. And she's never once followed any advice of mine, by the way. She's independent, pathologically independent, and likes to assert this fact. Yes, she says, I'm pathologically independent. I use the word pathologically when I'm talking about punctuality. I'm pathologically punctual. Right? Yes, I can't help it. I try not to be punctual. Really. I try to be less punctual. And I can't help it. No me sale. Llegar tarde. Es que no me sale. I always leave on time. In order to arrive on time. That's the secret. I possess the secret to punctuality. Really, what's the secret to perfect punctuality? The secret to arriving on time is leaving on time from your previous place or engagement. People don't do that. Do you have that word in Spanish, apurar? Voy a apurar 5 minutos más. Es muy corriente aquí, apurar. And they use that to mean I'm going to push my luck. I'm going to press my luck. Yeah. Yes. To push your luck, to press your luck. How do you say apurar for Spanish? Apurar is to finish off. Yeah, see, apura el vaso. Apura el whisky. Vámonos. Apurar is to rush, to hurry. Yeah. No te apures. All right, good. To hurry up. But apurar. But I can't find a good way in English. Let's see. I'm going to take advantage of the last few minutes. Apurar los últimos minutos, but I can't find a good way to saying voy a apurar 5 minutos más. And then you arrive 5 minutes late. And you never know if you need to go by taxi or in your own car or a bus, anything. Public transport or your own personal private transport is never 100% reliable. You never know when you might run into to traffic congestion, heavy traffic, a traffic jam. Or you might suffer a breakdown along the way, a flat tire, something. You never know. So it's always to be on the safe side. Yes, sobre seguro. It's better to be safe than sorry. Más vale prevenir que curar, right? It's better to be safe than sorry. And with that important piece of philosophy, I will say goodbye. Have a great evening, all right? A good Monday evening, and take care.
¿Sabes que ahora también puedes ver Vaughan Radio en directo? Síguenos en twitch.tv/Vaughan Radio.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo, horario de mañana o tarde, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades, ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.